Listen, he's been a wonderful friend of this church and has done a great, great work in the Word of God here and in revival. But he is used all over our fellowship. He is a tremendous resource and an asset to the apostolic church. And it is not an easy thing to do the job, the work of an evangelist. And it's something that you want to take to God in prayer for his family, for his wife and his children. He travels incessantly, needs the hand of God upon his life. But we are so glad that there are those that make the sacrifice and those that bring the gift of God. And I want you to welcome him to this pulpit. Just clap your hands, lift up your voice in greeting. We love you, Brother Godwin.
Man, well, turn around and high five three people and tell them the devil's having a bad day. Man. Thought he wiped me out, but I'm still here. Come on, some of you been going through it, but you're here anyhow. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, if you got your Bible, a couple of places in the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's great to be with you. Let's go to Isaiah 52 and Psalms 68. Isaiah 52 and 1 and Psalm 68 and 1. Love and appreciate your pastor. Amen. His wife. How many of you love Brother and Sister Sutton? And we appreciate their friendship. And what we see happening in this church, we give God praise for that. But we do understand that great churches grow great because of great leadership. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. God's God everywhere, but not every church is a great church. Amen. The deciding factor is leadership. Your pastor teaches that everything rises and falls with leadership. God sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And so we're thankful. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Amen. Thank you for your love offering. Back in December, we had kind of an emergency surgery with hernia and hiatal hernia. I preached so hard, I blew a gasket. Amen. And stomach jumped up through my esophagus, blew my esophagus out. And then I heard when they went in there to fix that, and I pumped me up full of air so they could do that surgery, and pew, a little hernia popped out, and they fixed that, so I was down 8 weeks. And as the old Chinese man said, no preaching, no pay. And so the reverend was down on his back, and said, Lord, you're going to have to help us out here. Amen. And help came from Birmingham. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. And a lot of other places just kind of blew my mind. Amen. Thank God. Amen. So, amen. We invite you to come to Los Angeles last week of April. Amen. This is our birthday. Amen. If you don't know where you've come from, you have no idea where you're going. And we'll get to retrace our steps and take tours from Bonnie Bray House to a right at Azusa Street. Amen. We're going to have a concert on Friday there. They asked us to take an hour and a half. And you're going to get to, if you come, you'll get to be right on the spot where the Holy Ghost fell in 1906, and we're going to have a concert and the Ewings and Stockton Bible College and Apostolic Assembly Choir from down in San Diego and the Magruders and Miles Young, and they're going to try to have church, but when the Pentecostals step up in there, it's over. We're going to throw down. We are going to throw down. We're going to do our very best to put out about 300,000 flyers that week and tickets. And I'll tell you some more about it tonight. But if you'd like to come and help us with outreach, we're going to have 25 teams all over downtown Los Angeles, 25-man teams. And we'll be handing out flyers twice a day and just all kind of stuff. But we're believing God that it's not only a celebration of the past, but it is a gathering in anticipation of the future. We never thought we'd be 100 years this side of Azusa, but here we are. And some, we don't know how long we're going to be here and how long the Lord's going to tarry and all of those things. But what could happen, amen, this time, if the latter house shall be greater than the former? I wonder what's going to happen. Amen. And so we're going to have a register signing where everybody that's there at the 100-year anniversary can sign it. We don't really know all the names of those that were there in 1906. But at this one, we're going to have a registry signing. And that'll go to the headquarters in St. Louis, and it'll be there in the Historical Society. And there ought to be at least one person from Birmingham come to L.A. just to represent. Hallelujah. Look at somebody say, somebody got to represent. Hallelujah. Man, that's what I'm talking about. And let me just tell you this, and I'll preach here. But, you know, we want to give birth to a move of God that could shake the world, not with just the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, but we're believing that there will be an explosive revelation of Jesus' name this time. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And it's happening now. If I can tell you some stuff Brother Haney's personally told me, it would blow your mind. I know for a fact Kenneth Copeland preaches down in Texas, big TV preacher. He introduced one of our apostolic preachers a few years ago at a charismatic spirit conference, Bishop Norman Wagner from Youngstown, Ohio. And his introduction was this way: I bring to this pulpit a man of God who represents a group of people who have the greatest revelation of the need of the name of Jesus. Would you welcome Bishop Norman Wagner? Folks, they know something is different. And that doesn't make us better, but amen, God progressively reveals truth. And so we want to be the medium through which God can reveal that truth. So if you can't come, amen, pray for us. Believe God for something powerful that week. All the churches, about 150 of them in Southern California, are dismissing their services. We're hoping, they're saying they are. And we had an 8,000-seat auditorium where the last two Rocky movies were filmed, all the fight scenes. It's now been turned into church. We've got that building, the Grand Olympic Auditorium. And we're going to throw down and have church. Amen. So we're looking forward to having you. Apologize for taking time, but amen, that's just, it's on me. Amen. So here we go. Psalm 68 and verse 1. I won't be long. And everybody said, thank you, Jesus. Some of the folks that know me are going, I don't know, I've heard him before. The only thing that makes me go real long is silence. Amen. So look at somebody, say, fake it and act happy. Hallelujah. Amen. Appreciate the leadership of your pastor, even down in the district. And doesn't hold a district office, but amen, they recognize leadership and they call him to the forefront to head up the important thing of licensing our preachers and preparing them and testing them. And they don't pay him to do it. But, amen, they know a good man when they see it. High five somebody and say, I know that's right. Forgive my voice. I jumped up in here in Alabama, woke up yesterday morning and couldn't even talk. Amen, had some jump all up in my throat. Couldn't even hack it out. It's better today. Hallelujah. Thank God. Verse 1, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dry or dwell in a dry land. Isaiah 52 and verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. The holy city, from henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, look, loose thyself, and the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, for thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Amen. 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 Loose thyself from the bands that are on thy neck. I want you to high five three people around you and tell them, no more chains. No more chains. No more chains. Now take somebody by the hand and for 30 seconds lift it up in the air and pray for them like you would like them to pray for you. Amen. If you want them to pray fervently for them. God, we thank you for what you're about to do. Now, if you believe God's going to answer that prayer, clap your hands unto the Lord. I believe He's a prayer answering God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. To understand the full impact of this text, allow me to just set the stage. Isaiah is justly accounted as the chief of all of the writing prophets. The reason is because he has the more comprehensive testimony and is distinctly recognized as the prophet of redemption. Nowhere in Scripture that is written under the law is there a clearer view of the grace of God that is to come than there is found in Isaiah's writing. His writings cover the seven major themes of Scripture, and they also cover the entire Word of God. Like the total of Scripture, there is found not only that likeness, but other likenesses, such as there are 66 chapters to Isaiah's book, and then therefore there are 66 books to the Bible. There are two divisions to Isaiah's book, and there are two divisions to the Bible, the law and the grace. The two divisions that are in Isaiah's writings, ironically, are so different and diametrically opposed that many theologians have speculated and theorized that there were two different Isaiahs that wrote the book. We understand that that is not true, and here is why. First of all, because Isaiah's book first is written as pre-captivity writing, if you will. Israel is about to go into captivity. They are leaning on their own arm. They are trusting in their own way. In fact, one place in Isaiah, when Isaiah is warning them of their trouble and the judgment that is coming if they continue the way that they are going, he said, "You have made lies your refuge, and with hell you are at agreement, and you have made a covenant with death." He doesn't spare any word to challenge them and tries to shake them off of the road that they are heading, because he prophetically, being the man of God, the watchman on the wall, he can see where they're going to end up. They can't. They think everything's fine, but he stands with the trumpet to his mouth and he warns them, you've got to turn, you've got to stop, you've got to repent, you've got to turn away from the way that you are going. I don't know about you, but I want to give God some high praise today for preventative and pre-captivity anointing. I'm going to make it plain. I thank God when a preacher got up and warned me before I got in trouble. I thank God for the preacher that'll spare not. Amen. But he'll preach before I get into the chaos. So we that are in the church, we must be quick, even when the preacher becomes heavy and the preaching becomes convicting and it becomes straight. Amen. And the preacher begins to name sin. Amen. We should not cower back and withdraw and go into the cocoon. We must remember that God not only anoints for deliverance, but God anoints a man of God to keep you out of bondage. I wish I had a preaching church now. Amen. You may not be in trouble now, but maybe you're headed the wrong way. And the anointing of God is saying, stop and turn around. High five somebody and tell him, thank God he preached me away from trouble. And unfortunately, as Israel did, so we do. Ignore the preaching. Resist the word. And they end up in captivity. 70 years of Babylonian captivity, incarceration, prison. They become slaves. They are beaten. It's all in the natural and the old, but it points to a spiritual condition that when you give yourself to sin, you become a slave to it. Little things like cigarettes drag you around like a dog. I mean, they incarcerate you. It's amazing something that little can snare big, tough, 6-foot-tall, 250-pound men. It's amazing the little bottle of Jack Daniels can latch a hold of a muscle-bound man and a strong woman and incarcerate him and tie him down. It's amazing that a little bitty stone called crack cocaine could take a good mind out of a good woman and leave her standing on the streets. Going through L.A., we went to sign the contract on the auditorium the other day. And they're laying next to one of the bus stops was a man that just had a little mat laying there. And he was fast asleep in midday at noon. People walking by, Los Angeles traffic. And when I stood there and looked at him, I thought, God, where was he? He had been crazy all of his life. Where was he when that chain got put on him and brought a big man down? Little needles full of a fluid become chains. Israel doesn't listen, and they physically are incarcerated now. They ignored the preacher. They ignored the prophecy. If I can just walk in the Holy Ghost right here, standing on this platform, this brother right here in this blue jumpsuit and your beautiful wife. Is this your wife? You moved up. I like you. That's what gave me the liberty to go ahead and do what I felt the Holy Ghost said, because you moved up a couple of rows. Hallelujah. Amen. I just felt a word from the Lord to say to you and your wife that if you'll keep coming like you are, the blessings God's going to pour on you are going to blow your mind. Amen. Amen. And mother, you were the one that stood out. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the progress and where God's calling you and what he's leading you to. The Holy Ghost said to me, we grow up into fullness, measure, and stature of Christ. You've come a long way, haven't you? Amen. But God said, don't be afraid of the next step. There's going to be great blessings. There's going to be great anointing. There's going to be great power, and it's in this house. Somebody needs to give God praise in here right now. Amen. The devil's tried to chain you. The devil's tried to incarcerate you. But I've come to tell somebody, amen, it's time to shake off your chains. It's time to say, I'm not going to be down like everybody else in my generation. Amen. And you that are in this church and know I've been here, you know I don't do that very much. But I felt the Holy Ghost nudging me, and I feel the Holy Ghost nudging me a few more places. Amen. We're going to wait on your spirit. Amen. Whether you get your own word or not. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you got to shake off the chains. But now the second half of Isaiah's writing becomes post-captivity. It is an anointing that focuses now on deliverance. It is an anointing now that breaks the yoke. I want you to get it clear in your spirit. It doesn't matter what you are bound with, whether it's generational spirits. I don't care if 20 generations deep you can point to failure and chaos and confusion. I'm telling you, the anointing of the Lord causes the yokes to come unglued. I feel something happening in here right now. I feel an ungluing of yokes from old generations. The word break here, the anointing breaks the yokes. It literally is symbolic of sticking a yoke which was placed on the neck of two oxen. They were wood, solid wood yokes that were carved out of one piece of wood. But there was something about it. If you put the wood down in oil and you leave it there long enough, I'm going to preach to you now. If you leave it there long enough, the oil will penetrate that wood and literally cause the wood to come unglued, if you will. It will cause it to come apart. Amen. Some people are going to get an instant break today, but somebody's just going to stay in the anointing until your yoke just crumbles off of you. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and say, I feel my yoke coming off. But Israel's greatest bondage is the bondage in their mind. Crack ain't no deal for God. I've preached 23 years now. I've seen people run out of a pew, run to the altar and empty their pockets. Poof, just throw dope all over the platform. Fall out. Bam. Talking in tongues. Never. I can take you to the churches. Never go back. I'm talking about instantly. But I've seen others whose bondage was in their mind. Paul said, I fear. Word is not fright or scared. It is I am in awe. But I remember how Eve was beguiled by Satan. And he signifies the fact that she was beguiled in her mind. The enemy comes and incarcerates your mind. Why? Somebody said, why does the enemy attack your mind? Because when he sees you, the verse goes on down, it literally in the Greek, it literally means when he sees you, he looks wide-eyed. Because of the prize catch that you are. Somebody said, why is the devil coming against me? Listen to Brother Godwin. If the devil's coming against you, it is the greatest sign that you could ever get that you are doing right. Now, some of y'all are waiting to get out of the hell to shout, but you need to shout now, because if the devil's fighting you, if he's wide-eyed at you, that must mean you are somebody. Come on, high five somebody and say, I must be somebody. I must be somebody. Now, I feel you wanting to break loose. I'm going to hold the reins just a minute. And so Isaiah's challenge, as mine is even today, is to get you to believe that you could be free. We can hear, as it was, frustration from Isaiah when he cries out, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The Lord chooses to make bare his holy arm, but who sees it? In our text, he cries to Israel, who has been asleep in bondage for 70 years. And the words he uses, awake! I know all the calm people want to think Isaiah stepped to the nice sculpted pulpit and went, awake, awake. But not when he's trying to wake up 3 million Jews who have been raised in 70 years of bondage. He seeks to startle them. It's an awake. The word here appears, amen, as a sleep, not just a sleep as in taking rest, but literally in the Hebrew, it means the sleep of death, which means Israel is on the brink of resigning to the fact they'll never be free. Who am I preaching to today? Oh, you came to church, but you're just on the brink of saying, oh, well, I surrender. Never be different. I've come to tell you the devil is a lie. Oh, come on, look at somebody and say, it ain't too late yet. I don't care how long you've been on your dope, how long you've been in bondage, how long you've been in incarceration. It ain't over until God says it's over. And God sent me from Los Angeles to tell somebody it ain't no more chains after today. If you can believe, you can be saved and delivered. But I hear him say, awake. Shake yourself. Put on thy beautiful garments. What's he talking about? He sees Israel metaphorically. Now, these are metaphoric words or word pictures. He sees Israel as a woman who has lost her lover. And she's dressed in black and she's down in the dust and she's throwing dust all over herself. She's in mourning. Come on, Israel, you've been in mourning too long. You've been throwing dust over yourself too long. And I hear the word say, come on, Zion, put on your beautiful garments. That means you got to take off your mourning garments and put on garments of praise. I've come to tell somebody, you've been in depression long enough. You've been oppressed long enough. It's time to put on your praising garments. Can somebody say it's time to change clothes? Time to change clothes. You can be seated. We got too many people depressed. We got too many people oppressed. One thing to weep and mourn, but it's another thing to do it until you become depressed. Depression, incarceration of your mind. He says, come on, Israel, put on your beautiful garments. I don't see you laid up in the dust. I see you as a praising army. I see you worshiping. I see you conquering lands. I see you overtaking and overthrowing. I see you victorious. I see you as the head and not the tail. I see you blessed coming in and going out. Come on, Israel, you got to shake yourself. But then he says, see, and here's where your deliverance is, and I'm done. He says, you got to shake yourself from the dust that is on thee. Sometimes your deliverance is in not waiting on God to shake you, but you just look yourself in the mirror. You say, look here, boy, that's enough of that foolishness. You look yourself in the mirror and say, listen here, young lady, there ain't going to be no more of this stuff. I'm not going to keep laying around with every young man that's got fleas. Hey, man, I'm not going to get caught up in some sexual craziness. No, sir, you look here, young lady, you're better than that. You look here, young man, you're better than that. You got to shake yourself. You got to say enough is enough. The word here to shake literally comes from the word where a lion shakes his mane. And there's a growl. The word is you gotta unbutton your coat long enough to you got to unpin your hair. You got to say, hey, I'm going to leave a mess today. I come looking fine. But when I get done today, I'm shaking myself out of this one. Sometimes you just got to lay hands on yourself. Hey, sometimes you can't even get hold of preach. You got, in the name of Jesus, God, I take dominion over my own brain. So you say, what are you doing? You got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be lukewarm another day. I got to shake myself. I got to shake this dust off of me. I got to shake these chains away. Stand to your feet. Chains were never meant for you. 2 Peter 2:4, the revelation of the chains is, and he cast the angels down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. Jude 6, the angels has kept not their first estate, but let their own habitation he had received, reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Revelation 21, one angel will come with a great chain and lay hold of the serpent, the dragon, the devil, and bind him 1,000 years. Chains were never meant for humans. They were meant for the devil and his angels. Look at somebody next to you and say, I wasn't meant to be chained. I wasn't meant for incarceration. So the picture of deliverance can be found in the man from Gadara. Stay standing. It was actually two. Luke says it was one, Matthew and Mark. Or Mark says it was one, Matthew and Luke says it was two. Jesus is in a storm with the chosen 12. The disciples are chewing their fingernails to the elbow, meaning they're afraid. Jesus comes out of sleep, steps to the bow of the boat. Peace be still. Now look at the drama from the graveyard where Jesus was headed to. Because Jesus on the other side of the Galilee said to his disciples, let's go to the other side. A graveyard built in the cliffy hillside of the Gadarenes. And there in those tombs were two men. See, where did it all come from? Gadara, if you look at it, the tribe of Gad back generations before in the Old Testament, when it came time for them to possess their promised land, they said to Joshua, said, let us stay on this side of Jordan, for we're herdmen and we've got cattle, and we don't want our promised land. We'll stay on the back side of Jordan, and because this is well-watered lands and we'll feed our cattle here. This is the place of his descendants now. Because they did not want their destiny, didn't want their future, didn't want their prophecy. Generations later, now the backside of Jordan becomes a graveyard in the sides of the cliffs. One writer said, Gadarenes, Gergesenes, and Gadara, they were all cities of 10 cities that were inhabited, the Bible dictionary says, were inhabited by apostate or backslidden Jews. And so now for generations, they have been so incarcerated in their minds until these two men become the worst of the worst. They are literally demon possessed. There would be at times at night without any warning, the demons would rear up in them and they would strip their clothes off and they would claw at themselves and they would howl in the night. Bible says that the human family had relegated now themselves to chaining these men. But when these devils took over, they would snap the chains. But the people would chain them back. Because the real chain was not the physical chains, but it was the chains in their spirit and the chains in their minds. But now watch them in the middle of this thunderstorm and lightning and waves moving through the Galilee, and they see this crazy fisherman's boat out there in the middle of the water. Look at these two men from Gadara as they peer over rocks and stones, and they probably are thinking, what in the world are these two men doing out here? This boat doing out. Look at boat full of men. They know better than to be out here in the Galilee. Storms can blow up from anywhere. But as they watch the drama unfold, they see a crazy man step to the bow of that boat and calm that storm. They can't hear it because of the thunder and the lightning, but they notice they tied it together. They connected the dots. When he got to the bow of the boat, whew, the clouds are gone. The sun is shining. And the sea is placid. The wind disappears. The rain quits falling. There's no more flashing lightning. My God! To one, it was just coincidence. But to the other, something stirred in him. And he shook himself. And the closer that boat came onto his shore, can you see when that little boat slides up on that gravelly side shore? Something in him said, I don't know who that man is. But the Bible says when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Something in him was saying, I don't know who he is, but if he can calm that storm out there, I wonder if he could calm the storm in here. And though he was bound with demons, and we can theologically declare it was at least 2,000 devils, because whenever the devils came out of him, those devils went into those pigs, and 2,000 pigs ran off the cliff. That's why I want to tell somebody, amen, the devil, amen, is bent on your destruction. But I hear Jesus coming into this building, and all you got to do is say, enough is enough. I may be bound, but I'm going to worship. I may be incarcerated, but I got to leave this service delivered. Grab somebody by the hand. Say, shake yourself. You're going to have to get wild to get this one. He said, loose thyself from the bands that are on thy neck. One writer said it this way: ascend to thy lofty seat. Arise and sit erect. Rise and sit up on the throne of glory. When the bands are broken and can be broken, break them. He said, arise and sit erect. Ascend to thy lofty seat. He said, all you must do now is move. He said, the bands have been broken. All you've got to do is move and they'll fall off. Look at somebody and say, you just got to move. You just got to say, that's it. I'm coming to the altar. I'm going to repent. I'm going to get baptized in Jesus' name. I'm making a move. Look at somebody and say, bust a move. Come on, stand to your feet. I'm finished. You got to move. You can be Pentecostal and have chains. You can be saved 20 years and be chained. You can be of another religion and be chained. But something in you has got to say, excuse me, let me out of the pew. I got to make a move today. I got to get up and move out of here. I'm going to sit up on a lofty seat. Grab somebody by the hand. Grab somebody by the hand. Nikatabo shakata. Move, sir. You just got to make a move. You just got to make a move. Generational spirits are about to fall off of you. Incarcerations of your mind are about to fall off of you. You just got to make a move. Somebody needs to move quickly to this altar. You say, can't it happen in the pew? Yes, but you need to move now. You need to make a step up and say, hey, I'm moving now. I got deliverance on my mind. I got to shake myself. That's it, that's it, that's it right now. Come on. Come on. Grab somebody by the hand. Now, first thing we're going to do is repent. The key to your deliverance is in repentance. I want everybody in the building to lift your hand and you begin to ask God for forgiveness. God, forgive me of every thought that has been against you. I pull down every thought, every high thing that exalts itself. Come on, right now, in your own words, God, forgive me of living in a way that has not pleased you. Forgive me for living in bondage and incarceration. There's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody's repenting. I will not be incarcerated with bitterness. I will not be chained with anger. I will not be bound with the bruises of my past. I was abused, but I'm not bound by it. Maybe you were raped, but you're not bound by it. Maybe you were lied on, but you're not bound by it right now. Right now. Now lift your hands in the building. I pray deliverance on you right now. God, I smite every chain of the mind right now. In the name of Jesus, I smite it by the power of your word and the power of your spirit and the purity of your blood and the power of the name of Jesus. I come against every chain. I loose you in the name of Jesus. Let your mind be free now. Set your affections on things that are above. Look for deliverance. Look for worship now. Come on, your hands are up. Give God praise. You're about to receive the Holy Ghost. You're about to speak in other tongues right now. Open your mouth and there it goes, there it goes, there it goes. Keep that. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. You have been delivered by the power of his word. Come on, sing somebody. Reach up and lay hands on somebody. Come on, pray with somebody around you. Lay hands on somebody. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Come on, men. Come on, men. Come on, I need some ladies that know how to pray. Come on, ma'am, lift your hands up. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on. Lift your hands up in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now. Come on, lift your hands and sing. Deliver right now.